Battle.
Well, it's all.
Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. The Dog Talk Show is brought to you in part by Invisible Fence Northwest. Visit InvisibleFenceNW.com to learn more about their indoor and outdoor solutions for dogs and cats. Now is the time as the warmer weather is arriving. If you want to spend more time out in your garden, working on your lawn, and to allow your pet to have the freedom to be out there with you safely, off-leash. Check out their solutions for both dogs and cats. Great products, InvisibleFenceNW.com. Dog Talk Show is also brought to you in part by all the best pet care, all the best treats, toys, and food for your pet. Check out their website, allthebestpetcare.com. They have locations all around Western Washington, so you can look at their website and find the location nearest you. Eric, how are you doing today?
I'm doing quite well.
That's great.
It's a gorgeous day here in the Puget Sound area.
Yeah, so. The mountains are out.
Yeah. Actually can see the Olympics from our studio window, which is great because normally when on these cloudy days, we just have to take it on faith that they're still there.
Yeah. So. Well, I saw Mount Rainier on the way here as I was crossing the I-90 bridge. Mm. And as I was looking at the mountains, I was thinking to myself, what a fine day to take your dog for a walk.
Nah, it's a terrible day to take your dog for a walk. Why would
Never.
You do that?
And in fact, a fine day to go somewhere new.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Go, you know, new smells, new sights, give your dog a little bit of mental stimulation.
Even if it's just in your neighborhood.
Yeah. New route.
Yeah.
Because dogs, a lot of people know when they start going the same route that the dogs are just kind of automatically go in the same direction, and they...
You got to give your dog new places to mark.
That's right.
Expand their territory.
I'm actually going to be talking about a dog that I'm working with currently in the second segment and share my story about him. His name is Sputnik, and he is a little terrier chihuahua mix. But before I talk about him, I have lots of announcements. Lots of events. It is the season. We're coming up. I mean, it's already May, which means June is practically already here with how time goes. And so there's lots of events coming up. Summer really is just slammed with dog events in this area.
The dog days are, in fact, not over, but just getting started.
Indeed. So I'm going to give you some just a heads up about the events coming up. And if you have an event you'd like me to announce, please feel free to email me the information. host@dogtalkshow.com is my email address. So I'm just going to run through them here because we've got a bunch of them. First of all, I want to announce that my next basic obedience class starts June 1st. And this is at the Barking Lounge, downtown Seattle, in the South Lake Union neighborhood. My expertise is in dog training, behavior, and nutrition. And in addition to offering in-home private lessons through my company, Sensitive Dog, I also offer group obedience classes, and I have a basic obedience class that starts June 1st. So if you're looking for a great obedience class, basic obedience, it's great for dogs that have not had any training. It's also a class that has a lot of depth to it, so it's not just going to be, you know, sitting for retreat, that kind of stuff. So we'll get pretty well into it. June 1st starts 7:30 to about 8:45 Wednesday nights, for 6 consecutive weeks. If you'd like more information about that class or to register, you can contact me directly, julie@sensitivedog.com. You can also always reach me, host@dogtalkshow.com. Hot Flash, All Women Dance Night. Again, we're doing a dog event June 4th. This is at Neighbors. It's from 6 to 10 p.m. It's a really fun event. All women dance party, and we're going to have a table there. We're going to be raising money for Three Rivers Dog Rescue, a really wonderful organization that takes dogs out of shelters and adopts them out of this rescue. Really wonderful organization, and that's going to be June 4th, and that's at Neighbors in Capitol Hill neighborhood, Seattle. I get an email that the Chihuahua Festival this year is Saturday, July 17th at the Mount Vernon Christian School. You can go to chihuahuarescueandreferrals.com to find out more about that event. You can also email gloria@wavecable.com to get in touch about that event. That's the Chihuahua Festival. The Meeting of the Clans Black and White Festival, meaning the Westies and the Scotties, is coming up here soon, Saturday, May 14th. The Washington State Scottish Terrier Club and the West Highland White Terrier Club of Puget Sound are putting on this event together, the Black and White Festival, so the Scotties and the Westies. That is Saturday, May 14th, and you can visit the West Highland White Terrier Club of Puget Sound website, which is what is basically, I guess, the acronym WHWTCOPS, West Highland White Terrier Club of Puget Sound. I'll post that information on the Dog Talk Show homepage as well, so you don't have to try to remember that mouthful. But that's a fun event. We went to that. We went to the Westie Walk a few years back, and it was a blast. Very, very cute dogs. City Dog Magazine's Summer Mutt Mixer was just announced, so I'm going to give just some preliminary information on that. It's the Dog Day on Elliott Bay, and that sounds like a lot of fun. It's the City Dog Magazine Summer Mutt Mixer, and it's going to be July 10th. You can go to citydogmagazine.com and find out more about that event. They also have a Facebook page, which is how I learned about the announcement of this Summer Mutt Mixer. So just search for City Dog Magazine on Facebook and become a fan of them, and then you'll get all their updates, too. And all they've got a ton of events, too, if you're wanting to check out and see what else might be going on around the area. There is all sorts of stuff going on. Cinco de Mayo Doggy Party in Edmonds. There's Pug Mania, I think I saw. All sorts of events going on if you go to City Dog Magazine .com and click on their events page. It'll list all of their events there. The Prison Pet Partnership Program's annual Bark and Bid is coming up May 21st. It's Saturday, 4 to 7 p.m. at the Afifi Shrine Event Center in Tacoma. And this is a wonderful organization. It's the dog training, service dog training program that they run out of the Women's Correctional Facility in Purdy, Washington. Darcy and I have visited them a few times and had the opportunity actually to talk to the women offenders who are participating in the program. And it is an amazing program. It trains service dogs for people who need them. It uses dogs who need homes. So all of the dogs come from an adoption or rescue type situation. And also the benefit that the women get out of learning how to train dogs. Not only does it teach them job skills, but also, too, one thing that they've said is that it's really taught them about patience, which is really powerful. That's the Prison Pet Partnership Program. Their annual fundraiser is the Bark and Bid, and it's Saturday, May 21st. We went to that last year. It was a blast, and there were a ton of people there. Let's see. The Assistance Dog Club of Puget Sound, their conference coming up. It's titled, It Doesn't Have to Be a Mountain, Simple Solutions for Service Dog Issues. This is going to be Saturday, June 18th, and it is at the Inn at Gig Harbor. It's from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m., all-day event, Saturday, June 18th. And you can go to their website, www.dogsaver/adc.org. And that's the Assistance Dog Club of Puget Sound. And they're putting on a conference. It's great for anyone who wants to learn more about service dogs, who works with service dogs, who knows someone with a service dog, or someone who is partnered with a service dog. Wonderful, wonderful organization that supports people with assistance dogs. So that's the Assistance Dog Club of Puget Sound. The Furry 5K, Seattle Animal Shelter's big annual event, is coming up June 12th, Sunday. And that is a big walk at Seward Park. It's a really fun event, very well attended. And it's their biggest fundraiser for the Seattle Animal Shelter. That's the Furry 5K. And that is Sunday, June 12th. So heads up about that. I am happy to report that Darcy and I and the dogs are going back to Rainier Cozy Cabins. which, and I interviewed the owner a few months ago. They are these dog-friendly cabins right down at the base of Mount Rainier, and really dog-friendly, like not just dog-tolerant, but dog-friendly. They have fenced-in backyard and dog beds with treats laid nicely on them for the dogs, you know, welcoming the dogs into the house. It's really, really fun. It's just 2 hours from Seattle, really reasonable rates. And you can go to RainierCozyCabins.com to find out more about them. Included in the fenced-in backyard, they've got big hot tub and fire pit and deck and barbecue and full kitchen. And the dogs get to come with and get out of the city. And it's just a blast. Lots of hiking opportunities really, really close by, like within 5 minutes. So excited about that. If you're looking for a destination to go with your dog that's really dog-friendly and welcomes dogs, check out RainierCozyCabins.com. We're excited about that. I've got a story, like I said, in the next segment I'm going to share about a client that I'm working with. His name is Sputnik. And then a couple other stories. And then in the halfway through the show, we're going to have a guest. We're going to be talking with Lisa Peterson, who's a spokesperson for the American Kennel Club. And we're going to be talking about dog breeds that are more hypoallergenic than others, why they are, ways that you can help control allergens in your environment if you are sensitive. And also, she has the list of the top 10 most popular dog breeds of Seattle. So I'm curious as to how that compares to the national list. And so we'll be talking with her at the beginning of the third segment. So
I think most of us like to get the waterproof dogs.
Yeah, really.
Other places don't care about it as much.
Good point. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'll share a story about a client of mine. And then we'll be talking with Lisa Peterson with the American Kennel Club. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
You know she hurt my feelings deep. I'm gonna buy me a dog.
A dog? A dog. Why?
Why? 'Cause I need a friend now.
Babe, you need all the friends you can get.
This is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show. If you've been listening, you already know how I feel about Invisible Fence Northwest and their safety solutions for dogs. But get this, they help cats too. They tell me they've helped thousands of felines enjoy safe freedom outdoors or can keep them safe inside. They also have gentle ways to create a dog-free zone for your cat, so your dog will stay away from your cat's food and litter box. Visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you want the Dog Talk Show discount.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets in Marysville, we cover the world of animals. This week, Kim Miller, medium and animal intuitive, will join me in the studio, and we'll be talking about end-of-life issues with our animal friends. How do you know when it's time to say goodbye? Should you help or let them pass on their own? Should you do it at home, or is it okay to go to the vet? And then what? How do you survive the grief? Answers to all of this and more on Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Kemmley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Kemmley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemmleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
More choices, more topics, more shows. one station. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
I'm gonna buy me a dog.
You can teach dogs to that. You can only train elephants.
Cause I need a friend now.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And this is the Dog Talk Show. So, wanted to share a story about a client of mine. And this is a good also intro to an idea that actually Eric had. Eric, you're so full of good ideas.
I'm glad you said good ideas there.
You're full of all sorts of ideas, Eric.
That's right.
I like to talk about my clients, and I really like to answer people's questions about their personal dogs, too. We've had some shows where people have called in and asked their questions mm-hmm. on air, which I really enjoy. But I also wanted to open up what did you call it? Mail?
Listener mail, I think.
Listener mail segment, yes. So if you have a question about your dog and perhaps you're listening to the podcast on iTunes or you're too shy to call in or, we're having a guest and so we're not taking calls for that reason, feel free to email me your dog question and I will try to answer all of them or as many as I can on air. So you can just email me your dog question. I've had some emails come across, anything from do dogs get the hiccups to questions about training or behavior or nutrition. So pretty much anything, any dog question. And if I don't know the answer, I can try to find out the answer and then answer your question on air. But if it's about training, behavior, or nutrition, chances are pretty good that I know the answer.
I've got a question.
What's that?
Well, as long as we're talking about male and dogs, when did the rivalry between mailmen and dogs first start?
Probably when...
And why?
And male... Well, so dogs have been living with people for thousands of years. And part of that relationship has been protecting territory. So male people... regularly intrude upon territory, to deliver the mail, but the dogs don't necessarily know that. And so for dogs, it's, why are you coming into the fence? Whereas most people don't just walk into the yard,
right?
Walk up to the door. I know our dogs let me know when our mailman comes and delivers our mail. Our mailbox is right up next to our door.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can kind of hear the little flap open, close, and they all sort of let me know, and it's not like excessive, but that's just kind of part of the job description. So I would say probably as soon as male people came into existence, I bet that was not something that took a long time to develop, if any time at all.
Well, let's say you've got a dog that has a problem with aggression towards, your postal carrier.
Yes.
What can be done about that aside from just keeping them inside?
Well, it depends on the dog and it depends on the degree of the aggression.
Mm-hmm.
But I have witnessed as I've been working in people's homes with their dogs, like I was just working with this French bulldog in Sammamish area. And as I was there working with her, the FedEx delivery woman showed up and the dog immediately left me to go. And I thought she was, my initial expectation was that she was going to bark at the woman. But actually she was going because she knows that the FedEx woman dispenses treats.
Oh.
So it's about association. So for this dog, she was like, hey, buddy. You're here. Where's my treat?
Right.
And so it's a really, really simple, easy way to develop a positive association. And I've actually seen, I saw a little poster, I think, at the post office actually addressing dog bite incidences and stuff like that. So, it really depends on the dog. I mean, if your dog is really potentially dangerous, then you want to make sure that you keep them out of harm's way by not giving them an opportunity to get into trouble. But if it's kind of normal, who's that? Barking. It's a good idea for delivery people, mail people, UPS, FedEx, to dispense treats. Because then the dogs are like I said, hey, good to see ya. So I thought, and I've actually seen that quite a bit. I've seen delivery people wise to the ways of dogs, and many dogs can be bought by food.
Special delivery.
Yeah, exactly. And it worked great because she was like, you know, associates the woman with food. So she was happy to see her. So that's a great question, Eric.
Thank you very much.
Anytime you have questions, feel free to ask.
All right, very good. Or I will submit them to yes, you via email.
That's right.
Which, how would I go about doing that again?
Well, if you have a question about your dog, really about anything dog related, I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at host@dogtalkshow.com. Yeah, and we also have a Facebook fan page, which is a really fun way to connect with the radio show, kind of share some between show stories and post links and coupon codes and stuff like that. So just search for the Dog Talk Show on Facebook and find our fan page and become a fan of the Dog Talk Show. And you can also look at our page favorites. I've posted a lot of our past guests' interviews who also have Facebook fan pages. John Katz, he's got a Facebook page, and I enjoy his updates frequently. Oh, he's actually going to be here tomorrow, I think, at Third Place Books in Lake Forest Park. He is an amazing author. We've had him on the show a couple times, and he's actually going to be in the Seattle area. So I have my agility class Thursday night, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. But Third Place Books in Lake Forest Park, John Katz will be there talking about his new book, The Dogs of Bedlam Farm. So if you can catch that, I definitely recommend. So if you have any questions, again, you can email me, host@dogtalkshow.com, and submit your question, and I'll be happy to answer it on air. I did want to mention, too, that we do have just a few advertising spots available on the show here. So if you are a business that would like to reach dog lovers both in this region of Western Washington and also nationally, we do have some very affordable advertising spots available, just a few left, and it includes both a recorded advertisement on the show and also a sidebar ad on the Dog Talk Show website that will link directly to your website. And if you'd like some more information about advertising, you can email me at host@dogtalkshow.com. That's your email if you want to get in touch with me about anything pretty much related to the show or dogs. Send me an event you'd like me to announce. host@dogtalkshow.com. All of our past shows are archived on the website on the podcast page. We've had 113, I think, at this point. And we're also available as a free podcast on iTunes, so you can download any of our shows and listen on your iPod or whatever sort of player you have and take the Dog Talk Show on the road with you. So I have this dog that I'm currently working with, and he's it looks like a terrier chihuahua mix. And I just wanted to kind of speak to something, speaking of taking your dog for a walk. It's a young couple, and they adopted him when he was a puppy from a rescue situation. And he's a tough dog. He's very, very tightly wound, lots of energy, very smart, and a little insecure too. So he gets overwhelmed pretty quickly. So that combination is pretty tricky to work with. And so what was happening with him is that he was just, you know, basically constantly barking when they would try to take him out, like take him out for a walk or something like that. And they live in a kind of a high-rise condo building downtown. So an especially challenging environment for a dog like that. And so what happened was over time, he's a year old now, over time, because it was so upsetting for them and upsetting for him to go out, he, you know, got out less and less and less. And that's really common with dogs that have any sort of issues outside, is that we tend to then not want to take them out because it's so challenging or upsetting for both parties. But it actually feeds into the problem and can kind of become a vicious cycle. So now the dog rarely ever gets out. So then when he does get out, he's so pent up energetically. And also he hasn't had the exposure. So everything feels even more overwhelming to him. So I've been working with him in my 3-week intensive training program. We're on week 2. And after establishing a bit of a foundation of training to help engage his brain, teach him how to think and focus, and engaging the brain helps dogs be then less reactive because you get them to where they're able to think rather than just sort of acting on impulse or instinct. So I established this foundation of training, and this week I've really been focusing on taking him out every day and taking him out for a walk. And they live very close to Seattle Center, so we walk through Seattle Center and, you know, plenty of distractions down there. And he's really increasingly getting more and more comfortable being out and about. And just to, you know, for anybody who might be experiencing that, you know, dog has a, whatever the issue is when you're out in public, whether it just be unruly behavior, whether it be aggression towards other dogs on leash, which is very common, just really pulling very hard and it's hard to walk or hard to control, or perhaps the dog is really anxious or overwhelmed in an environment. Whatever the reason might be that makes it hard to take your dog out, I really encourage you to get some help and get it resolved, because it pretty much always there is progress to be made, and some and oftentimes the issue can be resolved actually, and you can have a different experience so that you can get your dog out more and meet their needs, not just physically but also mentally, because that little dog has just been so bored and pent up, and he's so smart, and it just adds to his general angsty kind of feel. So if you're feeling that way, I encourage you to get some help. You can contact me. That's a service that I offer. I do in-home private lessons as well as my group classes pretty much anywhere, you know, in the greater Seattle area. So you can contact me, julie@sensitivedog.com. Sensitivedog.com is my training business website. And you can always email me at host@dogtalkshow.com if you're looking for some assistance with your dog training or behavior-wise. I'd love to hear from you. So when we come back, we're going to be talking with Lisa Peterson. She's a spokesperson for the American Kennel Club. We're going to learn what were 2010's most popular breeds of Seattle, and we're also going to talk about dogs that are more hypoallergenic and why. So you're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hot Portraiture paint your dog in a stylish, abstract, realistic style. Artist Jennifer Bloom captures the personality of any canine, big or small, mutt or purebred. You can even include yourself in the painting, and you're sure to love the end result. To find out more, visit hotportraiture.net. That's H-A-U-T-E, portraiture.net. Or call Jennifer at 206-661-4538.
This is Kim Ariano. Join me on Wednesdays at 4 o'clock for Walk the Talk with Kim. We will focus on nonprofit and community organizations to strengthen our community through knowledge, leadership, and collaboration. We will challenge our listeners to walk the talk and take action to support the health and growth of our nonprofit community. You will be inspired with stories of triumph and lessons in leadership. So put on your walking shoes, grab your brain, and let's walk the talk with Kim every Wednesday at 4 p.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Looking for the perfect collar for your dog or cat, but all the stores have all the same selection? Can't find just the right bed to fit your home and your pet? Is your pup feeling chilly and wanting a coat to keep warm? Bido and Scratch is Seattle's perfectly balanced pet supply store, carrying everything you need to furnish and feed your cat or dog. They are located in Seattle's Mount Baker neighborhood, just around the corner from the new Mount Baker Light Rail Station on McClellan. For more information, contact the store at 206-588-2111 or friend Fido and Scratch on Facebook.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
1150kknw.com, your connection to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. And we are back now with Lisa Peterson, spokesperson for the American Kennel Club. Welcome to the Dog Talk Show, Lisa.
Thank you, Julie.
So we are going to be talking about dog breeds that are more hypoallergenic than others. But first, tell us just a little bit about the American Kennel Club and what all is involved with that wonderful organization.
Well, you know, the American Kennel Club has been around since 1884, so we've loved dogs for quite a long time. You know, we're a not-for-profit organization. We're the governing body of all those great dog shows and agility trials and things you see across the United States. We have about 22,000 events annually for you to bring your purebreds or mixed breeds to have a lot of fun in such things as rally, obedience, and agility. We have 170 AKC-recognized breeds, so we register purebred dogs, and we will also list your mixed breed dogs in our Canine Partners program if you do want to have some fun with your dogs in some of our companion events.
Mm-hmm. And that's a relatively new phenomenon. I actually remember announcing that on the show a while back when that opened up. What was it called, the All-American Dogs, the mixed breed competitions?
Right. To celebrate AKC's 125th anniversary in 2009, we opened up the companion events to mixed breed dogs, All-American Dogs we call them, mm-hmm. to enjoy the same classes and titles that purebred dogs have. So now everybody who has a dog can certainly have more fun with their dog.
Mm-hmm. And it makes sense. I mean, I'm a mixed breed American, so it makes sense. Lots of different types of breeds.
Sure. Yeah, it's an athletic competition. So mm-hmm. it's clearly, what you and your dog can train and achieve together.
Yeah, that's great. Well, so we were talking, Lisa, about the difference between dogs. Some dog breeds kind of are known as being hypoallergenic or more hypoallergenic than other breeds. And it mainly has to do with their coat type. And you clarified for me, actually, because I've heard that people say some dogs have hair and some dogs have fur, but that's actually not accurate. All dogs have coat.
That's correct. All dogs have a coat. Some of them have a single coat and some have a double coat. So, no dog is 100% hypoallergenic, but there are certainly some dogs with a single coat or even hairless that are better for those who suffer from allergies mm-hmm. based on the dander that they produce, which contains the protein that is part of the allergen to the human.
Mm-hmm. And that allergen is not just from... So what is dander, then, exactly?
Mm-hmm. Well, dander, if you think about a human and they have dandruff, it's basically, it's your skin. It's, shedded skin that comes off the dog's, skin. And in that dander is that protein that causes people to sneeze. But also dogs in their saliva and also in their urine contain that same protein. Mm. And dogs will lick themselves on their coat. So, they sort of spread that protein around. But I'm sure everybody sees dander when they're brushing their dog and they get those little white flakes.
Sure. And so the difference is that there are some breeds that are single-coated, and it seems like more breeds are double-coated. Is that accurate?
That's correct. Most of your breeds are double-coated. They have a dense, short undercoat, that white, fluffy, or woolly stuff that you may see on some of the northern breeds, mm-hmm. and then an outer, longer coat, or the guard hairs, which also give dogs a lot of their colors and patterns.
Mm-hmm.
But some of our breeds, we have 11 of them we've identified, that are either single-coated or hairless. And to, tell your audience what a single-coated breed is, think about your own hair, the human hair, and it grows, and you have to cut it to keep it in good shape. It doesn't shed twice a year, say.
Mm-hmm.
So those dog breeds that need a haircut every 8 weeks or so, like the poodle or the Maltese, these are examples of single-coated breeds.
Mm-hmm. And the double coat is often like the Huskies, the German Shepherds, the Labradors, Goldens, Norwegian Elkhound, cattle dogs.
we love Norwegian Elkhounds and Australian cattle dogs.
Yep.
Exactly. If you think about it, the coats of these dogs, a lot of them are water dogs. Another breed on our list is the Irish Water Spaniel. Mm-hmm. That double coat helps to insulate the dog's skin to keep them warm if they're in cold waters. They're water repellent. So, the coats do serve a great purpose for the dog's original function. And that's why, you know, a lot of the breeds do have that double coat.
So isn't the Irish Water Spaniel listed in the more non-allergenic dog breeds?
Yeah, the Irish Water Spaniel is on our breed of, you know, hypoallergenic breeds. We also have the Bedlington Terrier, which is that dog that has that lovely cut that looks like a little lamb.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the Bichon Frise, which is a beautiful, you know, white non-sporting dog.
Mm-hmm.
The Kerry Blue Terrier is another one that has that great coat that is a single coat. And, of course, poodles are the most popular.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the toy, the miniature, the standard, you know, three different sizes.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a breed that a lot of people first came to know a couple of years ago. The Portuguese Water Dog is mm-hmm. also on that list.
Mm-hmm. The president's dog.
That's right. Bo Obama.
Yep. And so with these mixed breeds now, like poodle mixes or like a, you know, schnauzer poodle mix or something like that, does it necessarily, if a single coat is bred with a double coat, can it really vary? Or does it depend on the individuals within a litter? How does that pass?
Right. Well, with crossbreds, which are you know, dogs that are created when you mix two purebreds of different breeds together,
mm-hmm.
And you've noticed that like the poodle is a very popular breed to mix in there.
Oh,
but
yes.
It, because of genetics and nature, it's not possible to guarantee what coat you're going to get in your adult dog. So, like for example, the Labradoodle, where you're mixing a Labrador Retriever, which has a double coat that sheds profusely, versus with the poodle, which has a single coat that doesn't shed, there's no way to guarantee what coat you're going to get. So,
mm-hmm.
and usually with dogs, not until they're adults and they shed out their puppy coat, you really know what they're going to have, or if they shed out their puppy coat,
mm-hmm.
if they're, you know, double-coated breed. So I tell people to beware of people who say, oh, I can guarantee you you'll get the poodle coat, because it's just not possible.
Right. It's got to be a certain percentage, ultimately, of dogs that end up, like, as far as which gene is more dominant or more dominantly expressed, as far
right.
as, like...
Right, and there's no way to control that. I mean,
yeah.
People who know genetics know that.
Right. So, and I've seen that, too, like, with the doodles, that some of them have more poodly-looking coats, and then other ones have, like, this coat that looks like it's kind of caught in between, with, doesn't know if it should be poodle or lab, and it's kind of funny and long. And so it can really depend. And you said, too, that even dogs within, you know, one poodle might be less allergenic than another poodle. So it's important if you have allergies towards dogs and that you're considering trying to find a dog that you don't react to, that it's important to meet with an individual puppy or dog to determine whether you react or how you react to that individual.
Right. I mean, even within the same breed, it's really about the individual with the allergies and the individual dog. So if you have a dog selected and you can spend, you know, some time, a few hours with it away from other dogs, away from other things that might trigger your allergies, you can tell if that dog or that puppy is going to be a good match for you ahead of time. You know, the thing that's really terrible is when you get a dog and you haven't tested it first with, you know, spending time, and all of a sudden you find out, you know, after a few weeks or months that you've had the dog that you are allergic to it, and then you have to, you know, get rid of it, which is something that, you know, you don't want to have happen. So
mm-hmm.
by spending time, you know, with the dog for several hours, to, you know, get a good idea if you're going to be allergic to that specific dog or not would be a great way to test it out.
Mm-hmm. And what are some things people can do, say they maybe have a mild allergy and they just kind of need to stay on top of it? What are some things that people can do to reduce the occurrence of, you know, of the allergen in the environment?
Well, with anyone with allergies, and I myself am an allergy sufferer, it's
mm-hmm.
actually really bad here in the Northeast this time of year, but, mm-hmm. you know, it's keeping the house clean, having a house with hardwood floors or leather sofas or just, you know, surfaces that are easily cleaned that you can, you know, wipe off a lot, especially like with a dog. If you think about it, a dog will go outside, run around in the grass, get pollen on him and other allergens, and he'll bring them into the house. So it's important if you have a dog to make sure that you can wipe it off or, you know, keep him clean as he comes into the house, bringing all those extra allergens in with him. Another thing I do, I have three Norwegian Elkhounds. I throw a lot of thin sheets over the sofa or the bed or any place where the dogs are going to lie or hang out, mm-hmm. and I just wash them, you know, many times during the week so that you know the dander and the hair isn't you know left around the house where I can sneeze or be allergic to it.
Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, and you can attest to this too, because we have three dogs as well. You know, hair management is like a part-time job at home, especially this time of year. You know, we're just constantly vacuuming and steam mopping and, you know, just to keep the house clean.
Right. So. And dogs, you know, with double coats, the ones that do shed usually have shedding seasons, mm-hmm. you know, maybe once or twice a year, depending on the breed. And, you know, I tell people, especially who have my breed, I says you can do two things a lot. You can either, you know, brush your dog or comb your dog a lot, or you can vacuum a lot. So,
right.
You know, keeping that hair managed will really go a long way to keeping the dander and the allergens down in the house.
And the benefit of doing the brushing is that you then keep it off, you know, out of the environment. So you get it before it falls onto your floors and your beds and your couches and all that stuff. So it's good,
right.
to, good to stay on top of it.
Right. I mean, even when the dog comes in from outside, you may want to just get a damp towel and just kind of wipe the dog off, and especially around his feet areas. And that way, you know, that extra stuff from outside, those other allergens won't be left over in the house.
Mm-hmm. And we're about to go to break, but before we go to break, I also wanted to mention something that you had said, too, is that, you know, fabrics and flooring and, you know, if you're sensitive to allergies in general, not just animals, you know, leather couches versus upholstered couches because they don't hold the allergens. You know, wood floors compared to lots of carpeting. Those types
right.
of things
Anything,
can help.
Even things like curtains hanging up. And one other tip, and I know most people don't like to hear this, is that if you do have allergies, you know, really not a good idea to sleep with your dog on your bed.
Right.
I know it's hard not to do that because we all love to do that, but it's a great way to not get so much dander into your lifestyle.
Right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk more with Lisa Peterson, spokesperson for the American Kennel Club. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Paper dog, get away from my player. Paper dog, you're on the wrong trail. Paper dog, you better leave my loving glove alone.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show and owner of Sensitive Dog, Dog Training and Behavior. Invisible Fence Northwest uses a balanced, gentle approach to help dogs learn their boundaries. I've seen it firsthand. They work with each person and pet as an individual and teach in a way that's fun and respectful. Your dog quickly learns it has freedom and fair boundaries, so is safe, happy, and secure. Isn't that what we all want for our dogs? Save $100 when you visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you're a Dog Talk Show fan. They're there for the life of your pet.
Ever feel like strangling your boss?
You little...
Or maybe you're the boss and your employees make you want to strangle yourself. Drop that noose and tune in or call in to The Boss Show, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150. Hosts Jim Hessler and Steve Motenko, co-owners of Path Forward Leadership Development, will take your calls on everything boss-related, offering deep insights with a dollop of outrageousness. The Boss Show, workplace wisdom with heart and humor, Wednesday afternoons at 5.
For more than 25 years, All the Best Pet Care has been helping people choose the best foods, treats, and toys for their dogs and cats. They are a locally owned family business bringing about little miracles every day by following the Mother Nature model of nutrition. Stop by to meet their adoption cats, schedule an anesthesia-free dental cleaning, or bring your dog to the toy testing area. Their new Edmonds store, next to the PCC Natural Market, opens in late February. To learn more, go to allthebestpetcare.com or follow them on Facebook. This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick and Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
For the people, by the people. Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Paper dog, get away from my chick. Paper dog, you better get away quick.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. And we're back with Lisa Peterson, spokesperson for the American Kennel Club. Welcome back, Lisa.
Thanks, Julie.
And we had you on the show July 1st of 2009, talking about 4th of July safety tips.
Yes, I remember it well. It's very important.
Yes.
That sort of thing. Yeah.
So now you have a list of the most popular dog breeds of Seattle. Of 2010 compared to, and I remember announcing the national list when it came out. And now is this, this is based off of American Kennel Club registration?
That's correct. Each year we release our top 10 breeds based on AKC registration statistics. Those are new people who have registered their dogs with the American Kennel Club.
Mm-hmm.
So the 2010 ranking would be for the dogs from last year.
Okay. So you have the Seattle-specific list, and I'm curious as to how this compares to the national list. So what breed is number one in Seattle?
Well, the breed that tops the list in Seattle is the Labrador Retriever, which certainly mirrors the national list.
Yep.
But then your list just goes all different places with breeds that are not in the top 10 nationally. And it's kind of a cool list.
Uh-huh.
The Golden Retriever is second in Seattle, and it is fourth nationally. And the Bulldog is number three Seattle. And it's tied with the German Shepherd Dog, which is... very popular nationally. It's the second most popular dog across the nation.
And is that English Bulldog?
Yeah, their name is Bulldog, not to be confused with the French Bulldog, which is also on your top 10 list at number 7. But yeah, it's the English variety, but the official name is just Bulldog.
Okay.
And then in fifth place is one of our hypoallergenic breeds, which is the Poodle. And that certainly is one of our top 10 nationally as well. And then we have a couple of surprises here. In sixth place is the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, which is not anywhere near the top 10 nationally.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly with the French Bulldog at 7. And here's a surprise. The Yorkshire Terrier, which is number 3 nationally, is at number 8 in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And we round out the top 10 with Dachshunds at number 9.
Nice. A fine breed.
Especially those smooth, mini, wild boar colors.
That's right.
Yeah. And then the final dog is the Bernese Mountain Dog at number 10 for Seattle.
Wow. And that must be different from the national list.
Yeah. The Bernese Mountain Dog is in, I think, like the mid-20s, sort of lower 20s. There's two breeds here that are on the national top 10 list. The Boxer is 11th in Seattle, and the Shih Tzu is at number 12. Right above another one of our hypoallergenic and very popular breeds is the Portuguese Water Dog at number 13 in Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the Portuguese Water Dog rise dramatically after Bo Obama?
You know, that was something I was looking at. Certainly, you know, the whole country was introduced to the Portuguese Water Dog because of the president's search for the perfect dog for his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And because there are so few of them in the United States, and, you know, there is a handful of responsible breeders, there really wasn't a big upturn in the number of Portuguese water dogs in the country.
Mm-hmm. And have you seen, I kind of know this to be true, but I'm curious to, I guess, verify this with you, that when the Disney movies, you know, Lady and the Tramp really was responsible for the a shooting up in the popularity of Cocker Spaniels?
You know, what I've noticed with movies like that and also 101 Dalmatians is they happened a long time ago when there wasn't quite so much media and opportunities to see dogs in the media there is today. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example. Back in the 1920s, when Rin Tin Tin was in his first silent movie, that breed, the German Shepherd, shot to number one within a year after the release of that movie. Because really, back then, that's the only kind of media people had to go see, and everybody saw that movie. There was no television, you know, that sort of thing. So today, there's just so many areas for dogs to, you know, come and go on TV and commercials and movies and, you know, through social media today that I think that the surges that we used to see a century ago don't really happen so much today.
Yeah.
And the other thing that drives it a little bit more today also is our celebrities who happen to own specific breeds of dogs.
Right. Mm-hmm. And there was, I had asked you where the Shiba Inu lies in the Seattle list, because I've personally seen a lot of Shibas as I've been working with dog training and behavior in the area. And there's a very strong Japanese and Asian influence in the area, and Shiba Inu is a Japanese breed. And you said that the Shibas were on 24 in Seattle's list, number 24, which is quite high compared to the national list. They're number 63.
Right. The Shiba Inu is very high up in Seattle. And, you know, speaking of breeds that are high in Seattle, but maybe not nationally, the Beagle does the exact opposite. It's number 5 nationally. Mm. And the Beagle in Seattle is listed number 31st. So
wow.
Not a lot of Beagle followers out there on the West Coast.
Yeah. Yeah, and that sounds right to me, because I don't see too many Beagles out here. They don't seem to be a really prevalent breed. I just saw yesterday there's been a lot of video footage coming out about soldiers coming back from the Middle East, and you know, media will often film the families, you know, waiting to greet them, and I've been seeing a lot of footage of dogs. Dogs' reactions with their you know, family member, their dad or mom, their human dad or mom coming back, who have been gone for, you know, several months or even longer. And there was, I've seen Labs and Goldens and, you know, when they're whining and just, you know, going crazy. But I saw this video last night of these two Beagles, and they were screaming. It was so funny doing their, you know,
banging.
Oh, yes. Yep. I mean, just like compared to the other breeds, it was so funny. And I was like, oh, that's Beagles for you.
Those are Beagles. Beagles are bears.
Yeah. Love that sound. Definitely very vocal. Well, Lisa, it's just been great to talk with you today. Thanks so much for taking the time. The website for the American Kennel Club is akc.org. And it's just got a ton of resources. Of course, registering your dog, but you can really learn about lots of different breeds, healthcare plans, DNA, all sorts of stuff, events, you know, the Canine Good Citizen program, which is great for dog training, just a wealth of information, the American Kennel Club website, which again is akc.org. And you also have a really wonderful Facebook fan page that people can find on Facebook and become a fan of. And it's that page is listed also under the Dog Talk Show Facebook fan page favorites. So they can find you there as well. But you've got lots of fun stuff that happens through that outlet as well. And you had said also too, Lisa, just real quick, you had mentioned that there was some efforts going on to support the animals that were affected by the tornadoes that recently happened.
That's correct. Our AKC Companion Animal Recovery, we have a disaster relief fund, and you know, we've been sending aid down to Alabama because of the tornadoes down there. A lot of you know, obviously homeowners lost their homes, they had pets. And you know, they've been displaced, so we're sending some aid down there to you know, help those dog owners get through a really difficult time.
Mm, that's great. Again, the website is akc.org for the American Kennel Club. And if you want to listen to Lisa's other interview, you can scroll down on the podcast page on the Dog Talk Show website. Go down to the July 1st of 2009 interview, and that was Lisa talking about 4th of July safety, and we'll be coming up on that topic again in no time here, as it's already May. Well, thanks again, Lisa, for your time today. Great to talk to you again, and thanks for sharing about hypoallergenic dogs and also Seattle's most popular breeds of 2010. Very interesting.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Julie. Anytime.
You're welcome. All right. Again, if you've missed any of our shows, you can go to dogtalkshow.com and find all of our shows archived there. We're also a free download on iTunes as a free audio podcast. And please send me your dog questions. I'll answer them on air. You can send them to host@dogtalkshow.com. And you can also find us on Facebook as well. We'll be here next Wednesday, 2 to 3 p.m. live. Thanks for listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.